It's time for From the Shortgrass, presented by UAMS Health Orthopedics and Sports Medicine with Trey Schaap, a golf podcast for those who love golf, struggle with golf, and just like to enjoy the outdoors and fellowship with friends, all while chasing a ball around, trying to put it in a 4 1/4 inch diameter hole. From the Shortgrass is presented by UAMS Health Orthopedics and Sports Medicine and brought to you by Stevens Incorporated, an independent financial services firm with the freedom to focus on what matters most. By Beechwood Hospitality, we partner with you to deliver high-yield results by managing, developing, and investing in top-quality hospitality assets. And now, from the Shortgrass, here's your host, Trey Schaap.
Welcome to another edition of From the Shortgrass, presented by UAMS Health Orthopedics and Sports Medicine. I am your host, Trey Schaap. UAMS Ortho Now, now open at the Orthopedic and Spine Hospital at UAMS Health. If you have an orthopedic injury, sports, work, or anything else, walk in and see the best in orthopedic care. No appointment is needed. Ortho Now, open Monday through Friday, 8 to 8, and Saturday, 8 to noon. Conveniently located at the Orthopedic and Spine Hospital at UAMS Health. For more information, call 501-686-TOSH. That's 501-686-8674. Coming up on this edition of From the Shortgrass, I sit down with Seth Garner, the new head golf professional at the Country Club of Little Rock. CCLR has not had many golf professionals since its founding in 1902. Seth was an outstanding high school golfer, played at Arkansas State University, and was a very good amateur. Now he's a professional, a Class A PGA professional, and the head golf professional at CCLR. You're going to hear from him after the break. Stay with us.
This is Justin Akery. If hand or wrist pain is getting in the way of your daily life, it's time to see the specialists at the Orthopedic and Spine Hospital at UAMS Health. Their fellowship-trained hand and wrist surgeons treat everything from arthritis and fractures to nerve injuries and carpal tunnel. And with Arkansas's only hand trauma telemedicine program, advanced care is available around the clock. Call Ortho at 501-686-TOSH to schedule your appointment today and get back to living pain-free. That's 501-686-8674. The doctor will see you now.
Strength is measured not by the number of accounts. Strength is placing value on relationships. It's having the vision and the guts to invest in growth. It's the commitment to responsibly manage your money. At Stevens, we believe that our strengths build success, not only for us, but for our clients. Stevens, member NYSE, SIPC.
The next time you travel to El Dorado and need overnight accommodations, the Haywood Hotel is where you need to stay. The Haywood El Dorado Tapestry Collection by Hilton is a great place to stay if you're in South Arkansas, listening to live music, or playing the challenging Mystic Creek Golf Club. Take time and relax in their bar for a drink before going out on the town for dinner. The Haywood, 210 South Washington, right in the heart of downtown El Dorado. Search the Haywood El Dorado on the web or call 800-293-0718 for reservations. The Haywood, a Beechwood Hospitality property.
Welcome back to this edition of From the Shortgrass, presented by UAMS Health Orthopedics and Sports Medicine. I am your host, Trey Schaap. Seth Garner is the new head golf professional at the Country Club of Little Rock. He replaces Daryl Shelton, who retired earlier this year. I had a chance to sit down with Seth to talk about his new role as head golf professional at CCLR. I hope you enjoy it. On the tee, Seth Garner. Seth, thanks for joining me on this edition of From the Shortgrass. Do you remember the first time you picked up a golf club?
I don't remember. My parents tell me I was 3 years old. I've got some pictures of me in the backyard with my dad's full-length right-handed club and a glove on my wrong hand and just taking some swings. But I grew up playing golf at the Hot Springs Village. My dad brought me out there as a 3 or 4 year old, started playing some couple holes with him and with the older members out there. And at first they were rolling their eyes because a little kid was out there playing. But after I got a little older, 5 or 6, started being able to hit the ball and playing from the red tees and being able to compete.
So they didn't like seeing you out there interrupting their game.
Right. Well, you know, as a full grown golfer, you get out there and you see a kid, you're like, well, it's going to take forever and they're going to be running around and, you know, playing in the bunker and all that, which I'm sure there was some of that. Yeah, I'm sure it wasn't. Some of the older ladies loved it and some of the older men did not.
Were you self-taught or did your dad find someone to teach you or did he teach you?
Right. My dad taught me the majority of it. I had a couple lessons as I got older. Jack O'Keefe taught me probably the biggest swing changes on alterations, but my dad's had his hand on my golf swing since I was a little kid.
And you come from a golfing family?
I do, yes. My dad didn't play a ton growing up. He probably started when he was 20 years old, 21, something like that. But I got into it pretty quick when he did, and then I've got a sister that's 2 years younger, and she played college golf, and then my brother's 8 years younger, and he played college golf, so it's pretty competitive when we all get out there together and play.
I bet it is. Were you ever like, maybe not, I don't want to do this? Or was it always, hey, anytime I can get out there, I want to play?
A little bit of that, yeah. So I love to play. We didn't travel a ton when I was a kid. We would go to Memphis, and that would be a big golf tournament. But especially until I was 12, 13 years old, I got a little burnout because I didn't want to practice because I would win a lot of tournaments just because we play the local tours and I started so early and it's so young that I was pretty confident. I didn't have to practice that attitude of a kid that I knew everything and I didn't have to get out there and grind on it. But you go play in some of those national events and get your head beat in a couple times, you realize you're not as good as you thought you are.
What other sports did you play growing up?
I played football until about seventh grade. Played basketball until right before my 11th grade year, junior year, I was playing summer league and I got my braces off. And then about 2 months after that, I got a couple of teeth knocked out. So, my mom said that's probably it. So I still had the retainer and all that, but, that's kind of when I gave up basketball. I loved it. It was competitive. It was fast paced. So it was a nice change. I could play basketball in the wintertime when golf's in the summer and the spring.
What is it about golf that you like?
It's a good question. I like that it's such an individual sport. I'm pretty much a control freak, so I don't like excuses, and you have nobody to blame but yourself when you hit some bad shots or get a bad break, and I understand there's some bad breaks out there, but golf's a great game that you can't, if you're having a bad day, you can't just pass the ball or, you know, try to play defense or whatever. You got to just, you know, buck up and get after it.
Got to try and find a way to grind it out, don't
you? That's right.
You?
That's right. Try not to post that high number. Try to turn your 78 into 74.
When did you know that you wanted to be competitive at it? Was it about that 12, 13-year age group?
Right. So, as I said, started young. Caught some success early. Started winning real local tournaments, Hot Springs and around that area. Traveling to Little Rock and Texarkana, stuff like that. So I knew I'd had a chance of playing, you know, high-level golf. And then 12, 13, you're thinking, oh, I can play for Arkansas or I can play for Texas and Alabama, all these big schools, and you start playing some national events and you're not as good as you thought you were, or there's other guys out there that can play pretty good. So that kind of humble you down a little bit, but you have a little drive and desire to chase your dreams and try to play some high-level golf. So probably about that 12, 13, 14-year-old range.
And then high school, you went to Lakeside, is that right?
Did go to Lakeside.
Pretty good golf program there.
Maybe we had a great team. I remember my senior year, so we won state my sophomore, junior, senior year, and we had a guy on the team that ended up playing Division II golf and couldn't make our starting five. He was on the bench on our starting five of our golf team. So we had three Division I players and three Division II players on our little high school golf team at Lakeside and Hot Springs. So
it's pretty good.
Pretty good. We all grew up, went to Lakeside and Hot Springs Country Club is 2 minutes down the road, and that was just every day after school and every day in the summer. We had a good group of guys together. We played every day with, you know, Philip, Holly, and Barry Howard up there trying to wrangle all of us kids. So I feel for them. We were a handful, but I think it all worked out just fine.
I think Barry understands the fact that he grew up in Jeff Hamm's junior golf program.
Sure.
He understands the junior golf and how important it is.
Right. He's been a great mentor for me and growing up in the PGA program. And he taught me a little bit on some short game stuff. And I grew up with his son, Bryce. And I know a little bit about the Jeff Hamm program, him and Jack O'Keefe. And a couple of my members there also grew up in that program down at Long Hills. So pretty cool story.
When it came to college, where all did you look, and how did you decide to end up in Jonesboro?
So, talking about all the aspirations I had of playing really high level golf, I was going to go to the PGA Tour, and I was going to go play at Alabama or Texas or Arkansas, or whatever. Well, you start doing some research and sending out some emails, and all of a sudden, you're not as good as you thought you were. But I played one really good golf tournament in Greenville, Mississippi, at the BFI or whatever it was called, Future Tour Championship. I shot 67 in the final round, and that propelled me to a top three finish. And that was kind of a national event. There was kids from – it was a regional event, really. Kids from Texas, Oklahoma, Kansas, and then down to Mississippi, Louisiana, Florida, mm-hmm. that area. So my emails to the Division I schools were minimal, and then you get one good finish, and all of a sudden – you start getting some calls, and I had a couple good offers from some schools, factoring in out-of-state tuition and stuff like that. Arkansas State just felt like a good home for me. It was close, but not too close, and I was familiar with the area. Loved the golf coach, loved the players on the team. They all seemed like pretty good guys, so happy it worked out that way.
And you had three golf courses up there that you could play as well.
Sure, yeah. Ridge Point was great. When I went on a recruiting visit to Ridge Point, it was best quality golf course I've seen in my life, especially in Arkansas. So that was awesome. Jonesboro Country Club's a good test, real tight, undulating greens. You gotta golf your ball around there. And then Sage Meadows, awesome practice area. It was kind of each course had their own differences. Sage Meadows almost felt like a links course, real wide open, a lot of wispy grass. The range was massive, a nice wedge area, short game area, big putting green. So that was kind of where we spent the majority of our time there, hitting balls into targets and stuff like that. So,
what was it like playing college golf and then competing in the Sun Belt Conference?
College golf was great. Played some awesome golf courses, met some awesome people. Some of my best friends today are still from my college golf team. Just because you went to Jonesboro and played Arkansas State doesn't mean you stayed in the Sun Belt in golf tournaments. We played our conference championship at the end of the year, but we traveled to Arizona and to South Texas and to Florida and South Carolina. We traveled all over the country, and traveling all over was awesome. I liked playing. I really liked traveling. Getting out of school was really cool. You know, telling the professors I'm not going to be here. Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday was pretty cool. Sometimes not Wednesday. Really enjoyed that part of it. But yeah, that was a good time.
What were the professors' reactions when you came up to them and said, "Oh, by the way, I'm going to play golf"?
Some were like, "Yes, no problem. You know, have fun, good luck, go get them." And some of the ones were, you could tell they were not having it. And they were like, "We don't. Sorry, you're gonna get a bad grade. You're gonna have to make all this stuff up, and you can't miss." And I'm like, "You don't understand. Like, I'm going to be gone, and this is a paper from the athletic director that says I'm going to be gone. So
right.
I'm sorry." And they, you know, we had to have the coach call and stuff like that. But it was a little hit and miss on some, for sure.
You talked earlier about the fact that you had aspirations of the PGA Tour. Did you still have those when you were in college?
A little bit. Not as much. I got into college. I played all 4 years. I think I missed my first three or four tournaments as a freshman, then didn't miss one the rest of the 4 years. I was always pretty competitive. I traveled a bunch. I traveled all the tournaments. I would play in the top, you know, one, two, or three spot, and I'd have a chance to win a couple tournaments and never really close the deal. So I knew one or two things. I would have to find a day job or figure out how to finish some tournaments. I got better as the years went on, but man, it's those guys are good. There's a lot of guys out there that I can see on TV that I played against in college, and they took a different trajectory, different path, and they buckle down and can get after it.
Who are some of the guys, Seth, that when they're on television, you want to stop and watch them?
Oh, that's a good question. I really like Justin Thomas's game. I like his fire. Jordan Spieth's fun to watch. I work in golf, so I really don't like to watch golf. I know that sounds strange, but that's just kind of my life. I like to go to tournaments. I don't really like watching them on TV. Mm-hmm. When Tiger was still playing, he was must-watch TV. So everything past that just kind of doesn't seem as exciting. Scottie Scheffler's amazing. I like when he's playing in an event. When he's in contention, it's looks like nobody else has a chance. So I like that. That's the first real hint of like a Tiger-esque thing that I've seen in a long time.
So not going to the PGA Tour, you knew that was out. Time to get a real job. You decided to become a PGA professional.
Right. So right after college, I was burnt out. We played all the time. We walked. We did 36 on Monday, 18 on Tuesday. We'd have 7, 8, 9 tournaments in the spring. So I really wasn't at school any Monday or Tuesdays in the spring of our school year. So my last tournament at conference, I just said, this is I'm never walking again. I told my parents I need for Christmas, I'm getting a cart bag. I'm not carrying ever again. And I kind of put the clubs up for 2 or 3 months. I would play in some, two-man scrambles.
Was that hard to do?
At the time, no. At the time, no. I loved golf growing up. I loved the independence of it. You could practice when you wanted, play when you wanted, create your own schedule. When you got to college, you had somebody there telling you, hey, practice is from 1 to 6. You're hit balls for 2 hours. You're going to chip and putt, all this stuff. And all of a sudden, it wasn't what I wanted to do anymore because somebody else was telling me how to do it. I'm kind of a rebellious 18-year-old kid.
Mm-hmm.
So, at the time, it wasn't that difficult to – I didn't walk away, but to give it a little break. Then I actually got in the insurance world. I started at an independent insurance agency in Hot Springs. I had a job with them right out of college. So I sold insurance for a couple of years after that, and then the love for the game came back, and I realized I didn't want to sit inside an office with no windows anymore. I couldn't wait until 5 o'clock to get back out to the golf course and play.
That's when you decided, okay, it's time to get back out on the course. When did you start applying to become a PGA professional?
After about a year and a half, I didn't just love the inside sales jobs. Barry Howard kind of reached out to me in around Christmas time of 2017 and just told me of a position at the Country Club Little Rock. He didn't know I was looking. I really wasn't actively looking, just kind of testing the waters out there a little bit. And he told me Country Club Little Rock and Daryl Shelton had a assistant job open there. And I said, thanks so much. I'll talk to my wife, talk to my family to see if that's what route I want to take. I know the golf world is tough. You work weekends, you work holidays and weird hours, but I love the game, and I was willing to reach out and see what happened.
And you did reach out, and what happened?
Yeah, I interviewed with Daryl and Brad Simons, and I haven't been to Country Club Little Rock in 10 years prior to that. Played in a little junior tournament there a while back, and was in shock about how nice the place was. We did a tour of the clubhouse and the golf course, and man, I was blown away. You've been there. It's an incredible spot, and mm-hmm. I still get chills still on number two, looking over downtown. It's incredible. But basically, I just asked Daryl after the deal, can I start Monday or Tuesday? Right. It was everything I wanted to hear. Awesome people, awesome membership. It's not work. It's I go hang out at a pro shop and hang out at a golf course. I've been doing that since I was 10 years old, probably leaning against the counter at Hot Springs Country Club. So. Now it's my job, so I asked him when I could start. It was pretty quick decision.
And he was happy to have you.
I hope so. I hope so, yeah. We've got a great relationship. I was happy to be there early. I was Brad Simons was the only other assistant, and that's pretty busy. So Daryl was a head golf professional, Brad was the assistant, and I was the second assistant. And I just latched onto those guys and tried to learn as quickly as I could because I know they needed the help. So learned as much as I could, really enjoyed it. Giving golf lessons and watching people play golf, playing golf with other guys, and it was incredible.
It is the oldest country club in the city of Little Rock, and prestigious, yes, presidents have played there. And like you said, looking out from number two fairway, and you see downtown. But then, Seth, you get on the backside, you get to 15 tee box, and you look down the river out west towards Pinnacle Mountain and the I-40 bridge and the dam out there and everything. I just think that those are some of the best views that the state offers, and it's all from one course.
Right. It's right in the middle of Little Rock in a neighborhood. You wouldn't have any idea it's there until you go see it for yourself. And you're right. 15 view is great. 2 is great. 4 is great. There's not a bad hole out there. In the middle of summer, I kind of get, beaten down a little bit. It's hot, and you're out there on the golf course. Nobody feels sorry for me being on the golf course, but you're playing the same place over and over, and you're with different members, whatever. But if you can tag along with a group of guests or bring somebody out for the first time, and then they get to number two and everybody gets their phone out, and everybody gathers around the hole, around the flag, and, you know, take my picture here, and all right, take it from this angle, and then they do it again on 4, and then they do it again on 15 and 18, and it gets you just about every time, seeing the shock of people of like, wow, this is Little Rock, and wow, look, you can see this, and it's an incredible golf course, incredible spot.
You don't have a flat lie on the course unless you're on a tee box. Being a left-hander, mm-hmm. how does that course suit your game, or how does your game work with CCLR?
So growing up, I hit a hook. Everything was left to right, left to right. And then I struggled. The first time I ever played Country Club Little Rock, I was a freshman in high school, and I think I shot 82 in a qualifier and left there, and I was like, man, that golf course is great. Typically, when you shoot a higher score than what you want, you're upset. But I couldn't wait to get back because it was such a good golf course. I just didn't fit my game. So every hole goes right to left, and I was hitting it left to right. So it was a bad makeup. So worked on it a little bit, tried to get the ball to cut a little bit more. There's a lot of holes out there that a little cut for a left-hander works out great. So after about a year and a half or two, it started fitting my eye and started feeling a little bit better about myself out there.
Yeah, let's see. 5, little cut, that'll work good. 7, little cut, that'll work good. 8, a little cut, that'll work good.
You can start earlier than that. Number 1.
Well,
you
1,
cut it. 2, you
yeah,
cut it.
2, 4.
Yeah. You don't want the ball going right out there.
No.
I can guarantee that. So, after I figured that out, the golf course became a little bit easier.
Yeah, I've seen you play out there, and it seems like it comes easy to you. Best round you've shot out there is?
I shot 61 out there in 2021.
Is that still the record?
As far as I know, it was an incredible round of golf. I played with a couple members, some of my good friends, Jack Grubmeyer and Kevin Brown, and then Bailey Dunston was out there with us as well. She worked for me in the golf shop. The round of golf is kind of a blur. I remember every shot, but I don't remember a whole lot about it. I know it was not a very social round of golf. After I made the third or fourth or fifth birdie, everybody just kind of got quiet. And it was kind of like the announcer's jinx and don't talk about the no-hitter kind of deal.
Right, right.
So everybody would say good putt on the first two or three holes, and after that it kind of got quiet in the cart and in the group. So, but I didn't think anything about the round on the first hole. I hit it to 4 feet and missed my putt. I said, well, just another round of golf for Seth.
Tap in par.
That's right. Another easy par.
When did you know that pro Darrell Shelton was going to retire and step down?
He had kind of mentioned it. When he was probably in his 28th or 29th year, he said he's going to try to make it to 30 years. It was about the same time as our 100th four-ball invitational. So the stars were kind of aligning for him to hang it up about that time. Timing was great. I did not initially take in the job think that this was a possibility. Just trying to learn as much as I could and see where the job and the game took me. But after about 4 or 5 years there with him and learning as much as I could, and he was great about letting me kind of do my own thing and letting me run the operation. So somebody can tell me how to do it as much as they want, but actually being hands-on and figuring it out myself really, really helped. So the last about 2 years of his tenure, he really just let me handle it, and the rest is history.
Yeah. Now you're the head golf professional at the Country Club of Little Rock. What does that mean to Seth Garner growing up in the state about 60 miles away from it to be the head golf professional?
It's unreal. You've been out there. It's the best property of a golf course in Arkansas, probably in the area. The membership is unbelievable. It's a pretty special place. Everybody tells me that I'm the fifth head golf professional since 1902, which says a lot about the membership and trusting their golf professionals, and also says a lot about the professionals before me that they would not use this job as an opportunity to get a different job or a better job or a job in a bigger city. Everybody sticks it out. It's just a really special place. The membership's fantastic. I really enjoy being there, and I hope to be there as long as they'll have me. They said I'm the fifth golf professional, so that's a lot of pressure on me to say don't screw it up.
I was gonna say, do you expect to be there for quite some time?
I hope so. I hope they have me for as long as they'll have me. So,
teaching the game. Do you like teaching the game?
I do. I grew up. My dad taught me how to play. Jack O'Keefe gave me some lessons. Philip gave me a couple of pointers. Barry Howard gave me a couple of pointers, but they all kept it very simple. So that's kind of my teaching philosophy, is just teach off of feel, not off of technique. I don't try to overcomplicate things. I think that's why I retain some of my clients and my members that come back, is they all say, you keep it so simple. It's so easy. I understand. And most of the membership, unless they're really trying to become, you know, a really high level amateur, or try to become a professional, they just want a quick fix. They're coming to me on a Thursday and they've got a Saturday game and they don't want to slice it. They don't want to slice it all day. They just want to hit one that doesn't slice as much. So understanding what they want is super important. And not everybody wants a swing overhaul. Some people just don't want to hit it as far left. So that's kind of where I took it. And I love the feedback. Seeing people light up after, you know, 20 minutes on the range, they finally hit one that doesn't go left and they hit it straight. And they're like, man, that was incredible. Let's just do that again. And so
right.
that gets me, that keeps me motivated and involved and wanting to keep going.
You spoke earlier about the four ball. I think it's one of the best four balls in the state.
People, the waiting list speaks to that.
Yeah.
So the way this has always worked was, if you played last year's four ball, so there's 224 players, 112 teams. If you played in the previous year's four ball, you automatically get a spot. And I always thought, that's fine. You know, there'll be 30, 40 spots come open because people come and go. Well, my first year here, we had three spots open up. So of the 112 teams, only three people dropped out. And it wasn't because they didn't want to play. Their kid was graduating college, or, you know, that somebody tore their ACL, something like that. So if people were able to be there, they were going to be there. And after working it for a couple of years and watching the way the members and the guests reacted to it, people were coming. The guests were coming from Florida and Texas and all over the country to come play at Little Country Club of Little Rock in their four ball. That spoke volumes about how well this thing has been run in the past, and the parties are great, and the golf is fun, and it's a big time.
It is a big time. Best golf course you've ever played?
Oh, that's a good question. Country Club of Little Rock's up there. I've been lucky enough to play the Elotion Club several times. It's fantastic. I played a golf course, Kenny Perry's golf course in Bowling Green, Kentucky, in college. It was probably the best quality grass and the best conditioned golf course I've ever played. It was Kentucky bluegrass everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, the fairways were pure. The rough was penal. It was incredible. Played some places out in Arizona that were unreal. Played Whisper Rock. It's fabulous. I've been lucky. I mean, the game of golf has taken me a lot of cool places. But yeah, I've got several to choose from.
It's still going to take you places. Seth, fantasy foursome, living or deceased, you and three others that you could play a round of golf with, who would they be?
So my dad taught me how to play. He brought me out as a little kid. I'm sure my mom just said, get this kid out of my house, take him to the golf course if you're going to go. So I would love for him to play with me, and now I've got two girls myself. So I've always thought, when you have kids, you want them to be golfers just like you, to hang out with their dad. So I've got a 2-year-old and a 12-week-old. So obviously not right now, but 5, 10, 15 years, I would love for that to be, you know, I think about that pretty often. So
that'd be awesome.
That would
Seth,
be awesome.
Congratulations on becoming pro at the Country Club of Little Rock, and best of luck.
Thank you, Trey. I appreciate it.
The next time you travel to El Dorado and need overnight accommodations, the Haywood Hotel is where you need to stay. The Haywood El Dorado Tapestry Collection by Hilton is a great place to stay if you're in South Arkansas, listening to live music or playing the challenging Mystic Creek Golf Club. Take time and relax in their bar for a drink before going out on the town for dinner. The Haywood, 210 South Washington, right in the heart of downtown El Dorado. Search the Haywood El Dorado on the web or call 800-293-0718 for reservations. The Haywood, a Beachwood hospitality property.
This is Justin Akery. If hand or wrist pain is getting in the way of your daily life, it's time to see the specialists at the Orthopedic and Spine Hospital at UAMS Health. Their fellowship-trained hand and wrist surgeons treat everything from arthritis and fractures to nerve injuries and carpal tunnel. And with Arkansas's only hand trauma telemedicine program, advanced care is available around the clock. Call Ortho at 501-686-TOSH to schedule your appointment today and get back to living pain-free. That's 501-686-8674. The doctor will see you now.
That's about all the time for this edition of From the Short Grass. I want to thank Beachwood Hospitality, Matthew Allen and Blair Allen. They know how to manage hotel properties. When you need an overnight place to stay, make sure it's a Beachwood Hospitality hotel. If your New Year's resolution is to play more golf in 2026, I hope you get to do that. and I hope you do it from the Shortgrass.
You have been listening to From the Shortgrass, presented by UAMS Health Orthopedics and Sports Medicine, a weekly podcast dedicated to the game of golf. This has been a presentation of the Buzz Radio Network in association with Majestic Cubby Productions.